All right, Assembly, are we ready?
Yep.
All right. Welcome. It's Tuesday, September 22nd, 2020, 7 p.m. And I call the Assembly regular meeting to order. We'll have the Pledge of Allegiance led by Assembly Member Howe.
I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
All right. One of these days we'll get synchronated on that. All right. Ceremonial matters. There are none for tonight's meeting. And that brings us to roll call.
Yes. Assembly members David Powell, Dalrymple.
Here.
Gilbert.
Here.
Morrison.
Here.
Ryan Howe.
Here.
Decker.
Here.
And Mayor Prasanka.
And Mayor Prasanka could not make it to the meeting tonight, so we'll continue here. Persons to be heard.
I do have Father Gallagher wanted to call in and give the invocation. I know we tried this last meeting, and I don't know if he was able, if he's on, can you please speak up?
He may have to push star six to unmute if he's on a cell phone.
How's that? Is that better?
Yay!
Thank you, Father Gallagher, for joining us.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So do you want me to start at this point in time?
Yes, if you would, please. We welcome you to our assembly meeting.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm going to pray what's called the Peace Prayer of St. Francis. Long established prayer. And it's the saint after whom Pope Francis took his papal name. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
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 Thank you, Father.
That's You're welcome.
A good tone. Thank you. Any other persons to be heard, Clerk?
Lane? No, there are no other persons to be heard.
All right, thank you. Number four, amendments to the agenda. Does any assembly member have any amendments to offer up tonight? All right, hearing none. Conflict of interest. Assembly Member Howe?
I've said it every time. If we're voting on funding for the school, I have to say I work for the school. So here
yes. I am. And you have to declare a potential conflict of interest. And I rule that you do belong to a class of employees and gain no financial interest as a result of any action taken tonight. So thank you for declaring a potential conflict. Mm-hmm. And we don't have Assembly Member Powell here, do we?
No.
All right. I have to definitely declare a conflict of interest on item 13A, CARES Act funding for the schools. So during that agenda item, I appoint Assembly Member Morrison to handle that item. That's item 13A. And I will remove myself from the discussion. Is that acceptable to the assembly?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. Consent agenda.
I have moved to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second. How?
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. That brings us to item 7, Borough Manager's Report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a handful of items that I have introduced to the assembly via KYP emails, but I just want to go over those briefly. There's a lot of activity going on and some very challenging activity for the borough. So I just want to run through those. In good news, I'll be holding public works interviews for public works director candidates starting next week. We will be setting those interviews up this week for next week. So that replacement of that position is moving forward. Many of you have heard and know from the information I've provided that the Department of Fish and Game has notified Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association that it intends to close the Crystal Lake Hatchery in Petersburg. Many people may mistakenly think it's just a sport fish hatchery. That in itself would be a concerning issue, but it also provides broodstock and rearing for king salmon for Anita Bay and other points in southern southeast. So it's a particularly an acute issue for Wrangell. I've been working with David Landis, the director of SARA, on this, and also our lobbyist. And I know that our state lobbyist is working with both Stedman and Ortez's office regarding this issue. I forwarded the assembly some correspondence from David Landis late this afternoon. So please read through that. There'll be more information to come, and we'll try to keep the community as up to date as we can. But this is a very concerning issue for a number of reasons. One, Southeast Alaska, many of the communities already have, but are in the process of declaring a fisheries economic disaster. And one arm of the Department of Fish and Game is working on, you know, certifying numbers showing the worst commercial fishing season for salmon potentially in 44 years, while another arm of ADEC is busily making plans to close a hatchery that provides broodstock for commercial fishing. So that's very, very concerning. More concerning is that a significant portion of the funding for the Crystal Lake Hatchery comes from federal Dingell Johnson money. And so it's just a match for the state to help with that. And part of the reason why the closure is up is because the legislature, due to their early exodus because of COVID-19, failed to act on legislation that would have provided a continuation of licensure fees that go to cover the cost of this match. So anyway, more to come on that. Many people also know, we were advised by the Department of Fish and Game that we have exceeded the allowable limits of what is called HAA5 in our drinking water source here in Wrangell. Haloacetic acids is what is the long term for HAA5, and that is a result of chlorine that we use to disinfect our water as part of our disinfecting process, mixing with organic compounds that are in the water. And we normally see an uptick in organic compounds there in our surface water that provides our drinking water source all the time. And we normally see an uptick starting about now. And that's just a normal course of action for the year. Often comes with increased runoff, creating more turbidity in the water. What has happened this year is we've seen a higher than normal increase in the organic compound loading at an earlier time of year. And I think that's due to the wetter season we've had this year. But just to let people know, this exceedance is not something that happens all the time. But if you look back at our regular water reports, this is not an uncommon occurrence. This is a one-time exceedance, and we have had this happen throughout a number of years where we hit a one-time exceedance. Actually, in 2016, we did twice. What I want to tell people is please don't panic. HAA5 is not a friendly chemical. It is bad for you if you are exposed to it over a period of many years, way beyond the maximum allowable levels. And that's why we work very closely with DEC to make sure that we're resolving the issue. Our water treatment staff is working with ADEC on a more robust testing schedule so that we can test more frequently than is required, and is making some operational changes, some tweaks to some of the other aspects of our treatment system to help further reduce the organic loading prior to the chlorine going into the treated water. And that has already had an impact. We've already seen a 10-point drop in the organic loading based on some changes that Wayne has made. So although you can continue to drink the water, continue to use the water for all regular purposes right now, they do say that people who are immunocompromised, which is folks who may be on chemotherapy or on an immunosuppressant, folks who are pregnant, and the elderly may want to consult their doctor about drinking water, and you may want to take steps. And in the meantime, for those of you who are concerned, you can drink bottled water or something like a Brita water filter with charcoal in it will help reduce the HAA5. So I just want to make sure notice will be going out to the public regarding this. We intended to have that notice out today, but it got a little complicated with other matters and getting the press release drafted with the appropriate ADEC language that we want to get out to everybody. So that's why part of the reason why we're announcing it tonight. On the opposite side of water is fire. And we had a fire in one of our containers that was shipping our garbage south. Thankfully, that fire didn't occur here. It occurred in Ketchikan. And it occurred not on the barge. It was while the container was offloaded. And this is the first time Wrangell has ever had a fire in one of our containers. And so it's not a good thing that it happened, but it's a good thing that that's the first time. What we are seeing is that this is this is starting to happen more and more. And it's one of the reasons why the barge company is going to be refusing to ship garbage that is not baled in the future. Now we have a contract through the middle of 2023. I can't remember off the top of my head if it's 2022 or 2023, I apologize, with Republic. And up until that time, they will continue to haul our garbage as it is. At that point, we will have to have a baler installed, and that's something that we've been aware of and are working toward. Our capital facilities director reached out to them recently to confirm dates. We got correspondence today from Republic, and they have asked us to start meeting with them regularly so that we can sort of plot a course and start moving this project forward to get a baler installed here in Wrangell for these purposes. So just wanted to let you know about that. We were scheduled to have a work session this evening on the water treatment plant. That was delayed because we had a couple members of the assembly that are very interested in this issue that we're not able to attend tonight. And we really want, this is such a huge project for Wrangell. Moving forward, we want to make sure that the entire assembly is available at that work session. So we will get that rescheduled as soon as possible. In other not so great news, we received notification today from the structural engineering folks who were here last week as part of a multidisciplinary team evaluating the public safety building, that a portion of the court system in the court office is not structurally sound, and that is a safety issue, and that the use of that section of the building needs to be curtailed until we can get that west wall, I guess it is, shored up. And so our capital facilities director is working with PNND to get a shoring design developed. They are recommending that that be in place by the time we have any appreciable snow loading. So that may not be very far off. I don't know what kind of a winter we may have, but we need to be moving on that. And Amber is here to answer any questions if need be. The other thing that I will mention, and Amber may want to chime in here, is that we will be extending the deadline on the due date for the requests for qualifications for the water treatment plant engineering. The reason for that is we had a mandatory on-site inspection as part of the RFQ process. We only had two firms come to Wrangell for that. EDA requires a minimum of three people to propose on a project. And if you don't get a minimum of three firms, they will require you to go back out. We have since had a third firm express interest and come to Wrangell, but have indicated they would not be able to meet the deadline that is currently in place of September 30th. And EDA has also suggested they would like us to advertise for a minimum, additionally, in additional publications for a minimum of 4 weeks. So we are probably, we will be changing the date for sure. Amber, is there anything I've missed in that recap? Okay, so we'll be getting the firm dates to you. Amber and I will be meeting and talking about that a little bit more, but we wanted to let you know that the time frame on that is going to change a little bit.
Lisa, I will add one thing. You mentioned at the last meeting that you'd be asking one or two assembly members to be a part of the selection and evaluation committee for that project. It'd be good to go ahead and identify who that person or those persons might be now, so they can start familiarizing themselves with the PER and the RFQ and be able to ask questions before they're doing the evaluation. So just a suggestion from my end.
Yes, we need to do that as soon as possible. Madam Mayor, if I may, I would appreciate if the entire assembly were here to do that. And we may need to send something out by email and ask for interested parties to return that information to the clerk. But we can get going if that's okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you for the reminder though, Amber, much appreciated. I think that's all I've got on my list, Madam Mayor. There quite a bit going on. I'm sure I'm missing stuff, but we'll continue to report out as things come in.
Thank you. And the assembly does have your full report and your KYPs. And thank you. Any assembly questions for our borough manager? All right, seeing none, let's go to our clerk's file.
Actually, Madam Mayor, I apologize. I need to ask a Captain Spray to do a quick COVID-19 report, if that's okay.
Yes.
And I know she's been working very closely very recently with the superintendent.
Correct.
Thank you. I just have a very quick update here for an EOC update. Lisa's correct. We've been working closely with Superintendent Lancaster. Over the past weekend, we received some mitigation plans for travel for sports, and so we have sent some revisions, and so that is being worked on. We're also working towards the isolation plan, and I will be assisting the school tomorrow. Sorry to back up just a little bit. I'll be taking part tomorrow in a meeting with the travel group that was formed to work on a travel mitigation plan. As well, I will be meeting with some of the staff at the school to go through the procedures for donning and doffing PPE that is required for those who are kind of filling that school nurse position, who would be taking care of any of the students who are symptomatic or you know, find out they've tested positive. Making sure that they're taking the proper precautions there. We're also working closely with them to get them set up to do N95 fit testing, which is the proper surgical mask that will be required. And we've put in a 213 resource request to the state for N95 masks for the school. Those are still hard to come by through the general supply chain. So that resource request was submitted today. We've been working with Pastor Ken Hager with the Harbor Lights Church on some of their gatherings, and we had a discussion with him just a couple days ago. They do youth activities every 2 weeks. So we had a really good discussion just about, you know, moving forward and making sure that we're working on our mitigation plans for those activities and doing those gatherings safely. He and I also spoke earlier today start looking at the gatherings for Halloween and what that looks like for our community. And I apologize. I know Assemblymember Gilbert, Madam Mayor, today, you had asked for an update regarding flu vaccines, and we don't have them that I'm aware of in Wrangell yet. They are being sent out to communities throughout the state, but I don't know when those clinics will be held. I know Dr. Prasunka gave us an update, and they'll be coordinating some drive-through clinics or flu shot clinics. Locally here, we have one active case, and the others are all considered recovered at this time. So I just want to, in close, remind people to be kind and help others as we are going to be going inside more often as winter's on its way. So take care of yourself. And if you can just be kind to remember that. Thank you.
Thank you. And we do have a question from Assembly Member Howe.
Yeah. There's a letter. Is this the time to talk about the letter to the school? Can I ask questions about that? About the...
Yes. Uh-huh. Oh, yes. That's what she's referring to, is working with the school. Yeah. On their mitigation plan.
Now, it says we didn't have a response and isolation plan. I have to kind of object. We did have a response and isolation plan. I don't understand how it wasn't, you know, if it wasn't communicated to you, I apologize, but we weren't allowed to open the buildings until we had one. Was it, you know, the letter said that one wasn't present. Was it that it wasn't sufficient or that it wasn't present? What was the concern?
Captain Spray?
Okay, thank you. Assemblymember Howe, that isolation and response plan, we had not yet seen. And in discussions with Superintendent Lancaster, I believe it wasn't communicated clearly that there was a written isolation and response plan. And since then, we've been working closely to make sure that we received that, and we're working on just the finer details of that. But yes, it is my understanding, it has come to light here just in the past couple of days that some of the teachers were aware that there was an isolation plan in place, but that had not been communicated, I guess, as clearly as maybe it could have been.
Okay. All right. That's what I was wondering about, because I knew there was one. another question I have. So I'm happy to do it. I'm tomorrow. You're training me in how to wear the Ebola hazmat suit. But I have to ask, if I put on the full hazmat suit and grab a kid from class and traipse them down to a little isolation room where they have to sit and wait to get picked up or what have you, am I in any way violating their right to privacy?
Assemblymember Howe, you bring up a very good point. And Superintendent Lancaster and I actually both, we kind of realized the, I guess, importance of, and possibility of even potentially scaring kids. And so we were going to walk through how this could be done, you know, in a way that, one, doesn't scare the child themselves, you know, as you're in a mask and you have eye protection on and a gown. It's not a full hazmat suit like you would have seen on ET or anything like that.
Oh, good, okay.
But it is a concern. It's a valid point. And so we actually, Superintendent Lancaster and myself talked about, you know, maybe even coming up and having a discussion with the kids, you know, so they see what this is, because not only will they potentially see this in the school if they become symptomatic, but if EMS is called to their house to treat either them or one of their family members, and we don't want it to be a scary point for them. As far as violating HIPAA and whatnot, that's where Superintendent Lancaster had a great idea of, you know, somebody else calls that student out of the room, and then they're, you know, not necessarily that person is close to them, but they get called to the office or something, and that's where they're greeted by the person who is in the appropriate PPE.
I feel like, you know, we're all following, the kids are doing a great job of following the universal precautions in the form of the masks. You know, so they could do that, just go down to the office, where continuing to follow mask protocol, go to the office as long as they're not, you know, stopping. And I'm probably confusing things, but is that correct?
So the idea that we had discussed, and just briefly, this is not anything finalized and it's not anything written down yet, but the idea that was discussed was the child would be called, you know, to report to the office, and they would be greeted just outside of the classroom.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. And you could probably answer this question, because I have heard different things. What is considered a close contact of somebody who is positive?
So a close contact is anybody who you are near for any longer than 15 minutes. And that 15 minutes is cumulative. So if you're, you know, next to somebody for 5 minutes, and an hour later you're next to somebody for 5 more minutes, and you know, it's that would be considered your close contact, in whether you're wearing a mask and they're not wearing a mask, or you're both wearing a mask, you're still considered close contact. You know, anything longer than 10 minutes within less anything 6 feet or less.
So if we're 6 feet apart, and if the students are 6 feet apart and they don't congregate, would we still consider it a close contact if they're all wearing masks?
That is a great question. And, you know, I don't really know that would be considered close contact per se. If they are all truly 6 feet apart at all times and they haven't been closer to each other during that time.
I think it'd surprise us how little time they actually are closer than 6 feet. Teachers are doing a good job of spacing things out. So I don't have any more questions. Thank you.
Any other questions for Captain Spray? All right.
Madam Mayor, as usual, I have a do-over.
Please.
Just briefly, I wanted to end on a positive note, in addition to Captain Spray's comments, and that is at the recommendation of the Economic Development Committee, the grant opportunities for businesses and now including households have been amended to allow for additional assistance to people. So I encourage the businesses of Wrangell and individual households who have been impacted by COVID-19 to get on the city's website and take a look at what those additional assistance offerings are. Please make yourself aware of those. But in addition to businesses, we now have one for individual households. So please, people of Wrangell, take advantage of those and get on the city's website or call or you can email with questions to wrangle@wrangle.com, and those will get answered and within a period of time. And we're happy to try to help, but we want to make sure that the CARES money we have is being disseminated out to our community to the maximum degree possible. So our thanks to the EDC and to Carol Rushmore for working through that, and please everybody take advantage of those programs.
Thank you for that announcement. All right, item 8, the borough clerk's file.
Okay, thank you. I have a couple of things in addition to my report. I wanted to address elections. First of all, I have participated in a Zoom teleconference that was provided by NACO today, and that was on holding safe elections for this year. It was really informative, and it was from all across the country, so that was pretty neat. Also, I've had a couple of people make kind of, you know, comments to me about like, oh, well, if there's a lot of absentee voting, you know, can they, you know, how do you prevent from double voting? And I wanted to let the assembly and the public know that I do have a system that I'm following, that if somebody does vote absentee, which is also early voting, considered early voting, I do mark the register that you would sign on election day that you have voted absentee, so that if you come on election day to vote, it'll say that you have already voted. So there's that. And I thank you to the people that asked me that, because that's a very good question. And yeah, anyway, also we will have absentee voting going on in the clerk's office here at City Hall until Monday, October 5th at 4 o'clock. So if you're not gonna be in town, please stop by and absentee vote from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. here in my office. I've made sure that PPE is available, and I'm sanitizing after every voter comes in. I have clean pens for the voter, so it's very safe. Also, I've had 12 ballots that I've mailed out to people that want a mailed ballot. And that's not uncommon. That's pretty common. That's a common number. I have 14 people that have voted so far here absentee. So for 2 days absentee voting, that's a lot in my opinion. So I'm very excited about that. So keep them coming. Let's see. We also have two vacancies in addition to the vacancy on the Parks and Recreation Board. So that's out advertising right now. If you're interested in serving on the Parks and Recreation Board, please send me an email at clerk@wrangle.com or bring me a letter that says that you wish to serve on that board. We would like to get those positions filled, because at this time there is no quorum and they can't hold a meeting. So also I just got notification that there is a unexpired term on the school board that's available. So those letters of interest are to be submitted to the school board president, Aaron Angerman, and that is on their website. I also posted it on our Facebook page. And if you have questions, you can give Kimberly Powell, the administrative assistant there at the school, a call on that. So other than that, I think that's it, unless there's any questions. Oh, I do have one thing. I know a couple of people have asked if, because there's such a big push about, you know, mailed and absentee and vote by mail. And I want to let the community know that we are definitely doing in-person voting on Election Day. The polls will be open October 6th from 8 to 8 at the Nolan Center. So business as usual. And then also for the November election, the general election, same thing. It's gonna be in-person voting. And if somebody is not gonna be in town or they wish to absentee vote for that general election, they can do so by logging on to the State of Alaska Elections website and you can actually apply for a ballot to be mailed to you that way. Or you can stop here and I can help you as well.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any questions from the assembly? All right, seeing none. The next item is mayor and assembly business. Does any assembly member have anything to bring forward? All right. Item 10, mayor and assembly appointments. There are no appointments at this meeting. So we will move to item 11. This is a public hearing. It's for discussion only. And the public hearing concerns seeking community comments on the Community Development Block Grant Program regarding the fire truck purchase for staff to provide a status update for the project. I will now open the public hearing and ask for a quick administrative report.
Madam Mayor, I'm going to ask Carol Rushmore to give that report, please.
Thank you.
And I'm deferring that report to the Fire Chief, Tim Buness.
All right, that sounds appropriate. Chief Buness?
Yes, thank you. Good evening. The engine is currently being, parts are being assembled and delivered to the factory. I know the chassis has been ordered, the pump and equipment. They're anticipating a November start of the building the fire truck and a completion towards the end of February. So as soon as we get a little farther into it and get a firm completion date, then we will be setting up to go to Florida, accept the vehicle and transport it back to Oregon State, where it'll go there for a week and get a full mechanical checkout. And then after that's done with, then it will be transported to probably by either Alaska Marine Lines or the ferry to delivery for to Wrangell.
Sounds good. And the color scheme is white and red?
Yep, it will look just like our newer engine number 7.
Okay.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Are we surplusing one of the ones that we have now, or is this will this be running in addition to what we have?
We will be surplusing an engine that we call number 25. Will be a surplus one that that the volunteers actually purchased from the state of Alaska. It was an old crash fire truck at the airport here.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from the assembly? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to close the public hearing. And do we have any discussion from the assembly concerning this item?
No, this is just actually an opportunity, Madam Mayor, if the public would like to speak on the matter. If not, then no, you can close the public hearing.
All right, I'm going to do that. The public hearing is officially closed. Item 12, there is no unfinished business. So that brings us to new business, item 13A, and Assembly Member Morrison.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Kim, you may have to help me with this. It's been a long time since I've done this. May we have a recommended motion, please? This is moved to approve revised CARES Act funding plan with an allocation of up to $125,000 for Wrangell School Districts, Wrangell Schools for COVID-19 mitigation. May I have a motion, please?
This is Decker. I move to approve the revised CARES Act funding plan with an allocation of up to $125,000 for Wrangell Public Schools for COVID-19 mitigation.
Thank you. Can I have a second?
Dower opposed seconds.
Okay, discussion?
Ken, I didn't raise my hand. You want me to raise my hand first?
I can't, you're fine.
All right, Ms. Morrison. What's the thought process behind the reduced amount?
The thought process behind the reduced amount is twofold. One, there was concern by the assembly the last go around with the amount. And so I reduced it. The second was that the superintendent indicated that it would not be being used for staff as originally indicated. And that was the largest portion of the funding that was allocated or was perceived to be needed. And so I reduced it, but it very clearly says that the school district can come back and ask for more if it's necessary. So that's not a hard closure based on what administration is recommending.
Okay, it sounds like if it's coming from the district, that's the amount that we're need at the moment, and it's needs driven. That seems appropriate. I just didn't know if it was there was some other rationale behind it, but that all sounds like it was well thought out.
Madam Mayor.
Yes.
Right. A part of it was the information that I indicated about the staff, but this was a starting point. So I took a look at the expenditures that they are anticipating at the moment, and then the staff reductions, and came up with an amount. So it wasn't an arbitrary number, but it's a starting place.
Okay. Anyone else? And we need a roll call vote on this, correct?
Yes.
Okay, call for the roll. Yes.
Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Decker? Yes. And appointed chairperson Morrison?
Yes.
Thank you.
Chairperson Morrison.
Pardon?
Good job, chairperson Morrison.
Thank you.
Item 13B, assembly, it's on page 79. Approval of amendment to the motor vessel Chugach memorandum of understanding with the U.S. Forest Service.
Move to approve amendment to the MV Chugach memorandum of understanding with the USFS.
Second, Howe.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have an administrative report?
Just briefly, the intention of this amendment is to change the date from the end of September to the end of December because the timing related to the project was delayed due to COVID-19, and they are actively working on it. And we actually received an update from Mr. Coleridge, the district ranger, today, and I can pull that up maybe. If my computer wasn't spooling out, I could. Anyway, things are moving forward. I apologize that I'm having computer issues here.
That's okay. Any other assembly members have any questions? Basically, it's an extension of the agreement. Everything is same as before. Moving right along.
This extends the assembly agreed to not charge the U.S. Forest Service for the vessel being in the yard from the time that we entered into the agreement until it moves onto the property. And that's the main issue. We want to make sure that the assembly and the public realizes that'll extend the grace period on the yard payments, storage payments.
And we're putting that out until the 31st of December, is that correct?
Sending it to the end of the year right now, yes.
Any other questions, discussion? All right, poll vote, please.
Sure. Assembly members Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Oh, I said Assembly member Gilbert, sorry. Decker?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And I'm going to do that again, Vice Mayor Gilbert.
Yes.
Thank you.
13C, page 88, approval of change order number 1 to Ketchikan Mechanical Incorporated in the amount of $90,170.96 for the touchless plumbing fixtures project.